VIP.
And hello, everyone. Happy 2016. Welcome to the first weekly Yap, the Yes And podcast for 2016. My name is Travis Thomas. I'm the creator of Live Yes and the host of the weekly Yap podcast, where each week I share ideas and inspiration on what it means to live Yes And, a Yes And mindset, and how to put the principles of improvisation into work for your life, as well as other life skills and mindset based on how to live Yes And. So great to have you part of this week's weekly Yap. So excited about my two guests today, two gentlemen who have been dear friends of mine for over 11 years now. We've been performing together for 11 years as the Jove Improvisation. We just had a show this past Saturday night, and we've been performing together, like I said, for 11 years, and really excited about this upcoming year because we are going to be performing much more than we have in a long time. So we're looking to be doing 2 to 3 shows a month all over Palm Beach, up and down the coast, and really excited about that. So I thought, wouldn't it be great to get the three of us together for a quick conversation as we talked about in our own lives, especially for 2015, how have each of us been living Yes And? Frank Licari and Jesse Furman, two super talented performers, but living in an area of the country that you don't really think is a hotbed for acting and improvisation and performing. So together, all three of us are going to share some lessons about what we've learned from the last year and how we're putting these principles to work for ourselves. But before we get to that, I just want to have a quick few reminders that, again, coming up, make sure you check the event page on www.liveyesand.com. I've got some live events coming up in South Florida, a 4-week course on getting unstuck in 2016, and you might want to check that out, especially if you're in person, as well as upcoming 30 Days of Yes 101 events that you want to check out. Please, again, if you want to stay updated on everything that's happening at Live Yes And, follow me at Live Yes And on Twitter and Instagram, as well as check out my Facebook page, Live Yes And. And so an exciting week. First week of 2016. What are you doing to start the year off with more purpose and more authenticity? So whether it's checking out a Yes 101 program, or if you want to check out some one-on-one coaching with me, please be in touch. I would be happy to get you started in 2016 on the right foot with more purpose and more authenticity. So please be in touch. And the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about how I had a big idea of how I wanted to start off 2016, and it has already begun. My idea for 2016, in the spirit of Rack Friday, is to do at least one random act of kindness every day for 2016. I've already begun the first couple days of 2016. The first day, I did some beach cleanup, picking up some trash, some plastic and things at the beach. Yesterday, I surprised a friend by buying him breakfast. And so those are the first 2 days. And today I gave away some different clothes and different supplies at a thrift store. And so my goal for 2016 is for myself and family between us is to do one random act of kindness every day. I will share sort of the insights and the inspiration along the way here on the podcast, as well as blogging about it on my other site, which is www.rackfriday.com, which is not live yet, but will be live soon. So that's how I'm going big with purpose and authenticity in 2016. If you want to help, I will be taking donations. I already had a friend drop me a check for all the money given to me. It's going to go directly to Random Acts of Kindness. And so whether you want to send me money on PayPal, it's travislthomas@mac.com, or cut me a check or drop me cash. Again, I'm going to start a GoFundMe account as well, so that anyone wants to contribute to this year of Random Acts of Kindness, like I said, 100% of all money given to me is going to be given to others. And so I'm not going to be keeping some of it for a coffee fund or something like that. You should probably be concerned now that I mentioned that. But no, 100% is going out there just to spread the love. And I know it's not always about spending money on people, but I know I want to play big. So whether it's buying someone lunch or coffee or something like that, it's all going to charity. So that's the big idea, is to spend 2016 every day a random act of kindness. I can't wait to see what shows up, what comes up as a result, but I will be blogging and keeping track of it along the way. It should be an exciting and challenging year. So there you have it. So now, without further ado, let's jump into that interview with Frank and Jesse that we recorded a few days ago about different insights we learned from 2015 and how the three of us collectively and individually lived yes and. And welcome everyone to this week's weekly Yap podcast. And I am sitting outside of the Brooklyn Water Bagel, which is kind of an unnecessary plug because they're not a sponsor of the podcast yet. So they just got a free plug. But I'm out here with Frank Licari and Jesse Furman. They are two-thirds, I guess we are three-thirds, of the Jove Comedy, the Jove Improvisation. And we've been performing together for 11 years, guys.
Yeah.
Yes, we have.
Oh, wow. 11 years. And we are actually sitting having our meeting because we are prepping for our first show of 2016 happening on Saturday night, which by the time you hear this podcast has already happened.
And it was great.
And it was fantastic.
What a show.
The work that you guys did was, it was subtle. It was subtle but powerful. Mm-hmm. Subtle but profound is the way I like to describe your work.
The janitor scene you two did was fantastic. And the second act, I just wanted to comment on how good it was.
See, now I'm going to want to do a janitor
scene. I don't know if you noticed, but the Brussels, the bristles on my broom were worn down.
You were doing a janitor scene in Brussels. That's what you're saying.
I would rather have you see you sweep with Brussels, though, on the broom. That's funnier.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's what we're going to get on Saturday night. Yeah. So, guys, welcome to the Weekly Yap. This is your first time on the Yes And podcast.
Oh, but I've heard it.
And probably your last time on the podcast as well, based on how many...
I know there's a huge lineup of interviewer guests and that you have, so... We'll have to get back in line.
You will.
In 11 years, we'll be back on again.
Well, you laugh, but you're correct. Yep. So this is the first podcast of 2016, but I wanted to have you guys on because we get to do on stage what I think a lot of us are trying to do, excuse me, in our real life as far as kind of taking the ideas and principles of improvisation and put them to use in a very relevant and practical way. And so I want to ask you guys, when you look back at 2015, is there an example, an idea, a principle, or just something that you think of, you're like, you know what, this is what we do on stage, and this is actually how I've tried to incorporate that into my real life?
I have a few. I mean, when I think about yes and, is I think to go a little deeper with the yes and principle is just saying yes to yourself and saying yes to life. And I think I can speak only for myself to say that I know life is filled with a lot of fears, and one of the famous improv sayings is jump and the net will appear. I don't know if you've ever talked about that before, Travis.
Only about a dozen times.
A dozen, okay. Yep. Well, it's a great principle, and once I first heard it, it really stuck in my life. And I think having a spirituality and a faith to say yes to yourself, I know in my life this year we've had a bunch of huge changes. I mean, my daughter was born last year, but obviously having her this first year, full year of her life being our third child, that was scary, you know, adding a third person into our family. And we moved into a new house, a bigger house, a nicer house. I mean, that can be scary too. Like, how are we going to afford this? And my wife stopped working for in a good way, you know, to raise our family, not because of, you know, any negative thing, but because of a positive thing. So those, when I think about that, those are three major yeses that I had to say to myself to go, you know what, I'm going to jump and know that it's all going to take care of itself. And it easily could have been a no for me. It easily could have been a, no, we got to stay in this house. No, we can't have three kids. How are we going to do that? No, you have to work because how are we going to do it? But it was basically a principle for us to go, you know what, we're going to jump and the net has appeared and it's, you know, we've landed in it safely. And I think that's been a huge yes principle for our family and myself personally.
And Jesse, how have you, share a little bit how you've transitioned the past couple of years from kind of having, quote unquote, more of a traditional type of career and lifestyle to where now you're kind of juggling a lot, but I know you feel kind of a greater sense of freedom.
Absolutely. And the gentleman to my left, Frank here, was my employer for well over a decade. And it was fantastic to be able to do that full time and to learn what I learned and grow in that capacity. And it gave me an opportunity to do what I love for a living. You know, I got to be in a theater. I got to work with the arts. I got to teach kids. I got a lot of great, you know, opportunities to learn in an industry that I love. And to be able to get paid to do it was beyond a blessing. And then, you know, for many different reasons, which we won't venture into now, the business closed. And I was probably the worst 6 months of my life because I was filled with fear. But it was a push out of the nest for me to get spiritual, for God to go, you know what, you've got thing that is a decade chapter in your life, and now here's a new chapter. And in the last 2 years, I've freelanced and been an independent contractor, and I currently teach at 3 schools. I'm doing acting, I'm doing emceeing, hosting, we're doing our Jove shows. All these little tiny things add up to the same money, basically, the same amount of money, not to get financial on this podcast, but it's the safety of having that job to go, okay, I know I'm going to show up and I go to work, I'm going to have that income. And now there's, again, it's that fear of going, well, where's that next egg going to, you know, sprout up where we're going to have, you know, that paycheck. And it's happened now for 2 years, and it's a blessing, and it is a thing where just life can be full of so much fear, but if you just allow yourself to say yes and give yourself the opportunity and the permission to do it, it's amazing what happens if you conquer that fear.
And you could spend more time with your kids.
Absolutely. Well, that's beyond the blessing is, you know, I didn't know a life without having to go to work 40, 50 hours a week. That's just the way I was raised. And I think to have 3 young children, 6 and 6 and younger, to be able to be now, you know, take them to school, pick them up from school, take them to practice, to be there all the time is beyond a blessing. And, you know, I do still work, obviously, and there's times that take me away at nights, but to have more time at home than I am at work has just been incredible and a blessing, and nothing I would trade now for anything.
Frank, what about you?
Yeah, well, it's funny. Something over the holidays, my family's been in town, and my friend of mine sent me this, which I hadn't seen in, I guess, 25 years, an article in a newspaper they did about me when I got my scholarship to go study acting in New York. And I read the article, and it actually made me tear up a little bit because I realized my entire life has been this exact sort of philosophy. The article said, you know, Frank, I won't go verbatim, but basically it said Frank is an improviser. That's what the article actually said. His strength, and this is when I was 18 in high school, from my drama teacher, said that Frank's life skill is the ability to improvise the moment and adapt to whatever comes his way. And I thought, okay, so wow, that's 25 years ago. And right up until this day, as Jesse mentioned, you know, I went from having a steady acting gig in New York to opening up my own school and theater and having sort of a steady life, even though that was day-to-day, always changing. But when the business closed in 2013, I guess it's 2012 for me, the last 3 years I haven't had a steady gig. It's gone back to being how I was in New York from the early 90s, you know, just sort of going from gig to gig. And I've had to really reevaluate what I see as who I am as in my career. And, you know, all these skills that I had that I haven't used in a while come back. So, you know, just in the past year alone, it's been, you know, gone from writing to acting to editing to producing to directing to just so many different things to keep myself moving forward, you know. And that's all on the career side. Obviously, on the personal side, that always affects your personal life because you don't have the stability that you once had. So my whole life is about day to day, you know. Not having that net. I don't have a net. I haven't had a net in 3 years, you know, and I don't teach regularly. I don't do anything that I could say, okay, well, at least I can count on this. So, you know, it can be very stressful if you allow it to be, I think, at times. But again, as Jesse said, there's gotta be a belief system and a faith that, like, everything's always worked out, that things are gonna work out, you know. And I don't have wood to knock on, but you know, the holidays have come, and it's been awesome, and I'm, you know, just been able to make it work somehow. But and a lot of plans that I've made over the last year, I realized that the biggest thing about yes and improvising is that no matter what plans you make, you just never know if they're going to come to fruition or not. And there's always a shift. There's always a change in that plan.
So the interruption of the routine.
Constant. That's my life. Constantly. And I'm a planner. Jesse knows this from working with me. Like, I put plans into effect, but I also realize now at the age of 43 that I've made a lot of plans with deadlines and, you know, timelines that you realize it's not up to me. You know, there's a lot of variables, whether it be you want to call it God, whether you want to call it the universe, whether you want to call it the effect of other people, the way the circumstances flow. You're never going to get where you need to be, where you want to be. And I shouldn't say need, where you want to be, when you want to be, but you may get where you need to be. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of been the philosophy of my life, and specifically the last year.
So both of you guys talked a little bit about sort of the uncertainty of leaping in the net will appear, and any performer knows that there's no such thing as a guaranteed job or a guaranteed income. Or so how is it that you two, what is your, and you mentioned like stress and anxiety, Frank, how have the two of you individually managed the stress and the anxiety of this type of lifestyle and still finding a sense of comfort and peace?
Well, it took me a long time to do it. I fought it hard. I really did. I fought it for 6-8 months. I just couldn't get over the fact of I was used to a lifestyle and I had to live that lifestyle. And I think God was pushing back and finally had to, you know, wrench it out of my, you know, grasp to go, here's what I have for you. And I try to embrace the let go, let God theory of just knowing it's bigger than me and it's out of, like Frank was saying, it's out of our control. There's not, you can plan all you want, but whatever, you know, is in store for you is going to happen, I think, regardless. That's my belief. So I think I found the bliss of just kind of letting go and letting it happen. And I was worried about this Christmas, for example, and you know, having time off to go, okay, where's that income going to come from? Because if you don't work, you're not, there's no income, you know, so it's a pretty simple, you know, theory to figure out. And December 1st, I booked a pretty prominent, you know, television role, and that check rolled in about December 15th, and it was like, there you go. You know, it was just one of those things where it's like I could have, you know, worried about it, stressed, fretted, all you name it, and I just went, you know what, it'll figure itself out. And there was Christmas presents, there was December's mortgage, you know, it all happened. Just, it's amazing if we allow it to fall in place. It's hard to do, though, because we want control. You know, we always want to be in control of our lives, and I believe that, you know, there's a higher power that's controlling us, so all we've got to do is just let go and let that happen, and most all the time, it happens for the best.
For me, it's just been almost a coming of full circle, a rebirth of sorts, because obviously I had that lifestyle back when I was in New York. I didn't have the assurance of anything for the first 6 years that I lived, and I was on my own, away from family, and having to make it in a city where it ain't easy. So for me, the stress for me comes not from myself, because I'm fine with what's happening. It's just the knowledge of having a wife and child to support. You know, if I was on my own, I don't think I would feel stress at all. I'm pretty good with that stuff. I live out of suitcases, always have, that kind of thing. But the real thing is knowing that you've got other people depending on you. So for me, it's been a trust. But it's a full circle. It's almost like I feel young again, in the sense of like I haven't, you know, the American dream has always been own the house, have the steady job, the retirement plan, the this. And for a while I kind of fell into that because I had it. And for whatever reason, either I didn't want it or it wasn't supposed to be, you know. I don't have that now. And it's like I said, it's getting back to a place of, okay, I'm going to accept everything that comes my way. And I mean, again, thankfully, for whatever reason, I have the skill set in somewhere that allows me to take a bunch of different things and make them work. But it's scary. I think it's just a matter of going forward with trust in yourself at first. I mean, first and foremost, you have to let go, which is what we do every month, is we let go of the fear. You know, if you live in that fear, it can consume you pretty quickly, because there really is nothing to quell that fear if you're allowing that to take you under. So I think it's just trust in yourself, trust in the universe, trust in God, trust in your friends, your family, the situation, that everything's going to be where it needs to be.
Now, Frank mentioned, you mentioned acceptance, accepting what is sort of going on. Jesse, you mentioned working hard but not having to control sort of the outcome, which I think is in a lot of ways the same thing, you know. And on stage, obviously, we never control a single scene. Unless you're doing the scene by yourself, which what's the point if that's the case? So this idea of, and I think a lot of people, when they hear someone say, oh, you just gotta let go and let God, or you just have to, you know, allow it to happen. And I think there's a misconception of, well, does that mean that you're sitting around and doing nothing? And clearly that's not the case for any of us. So there's that idea of it's, you're working hard, you're putting in the time, you're doing everything that you possibly can, but then, just like when you're on stage, you make an offer, you put your best foot forward.
You're planting seeds.
And then you've got to let it go and see what comes back, and then you have to respond to that. So it's this constant, do my best, put it out there, see what comes back,
yeah,
yes and that, respond
to that.
Life's
a game. Life's a game of tennis, right? You know, you can put a great serve out there, and it's going to get returned. And you don't know how or where and where it's going to get hit and how you have to move to return that back. And you know, it's hopefully it's a constant rally. And not a blow-by, you know, or an ace against you. You know, you're just constantly playing that rally game and trying to control that as much as you can, but you realize that you can't. It's just a reactionary thing. It's an act and react thing, mm-hmm. you know. So if you can't just react, that's doing nothing. That's just waiting for things to happen to you. But you have to act, and hopefully you're ready for the response, you know, when it comes. Cool.
All right, last question. And before I ask that question, in true improvisation form, we've had an airplane fly over.
Yep.
We've had multiple trucks.
My helicopter came by.
A helicopter.
And shopping cart.
And we just had the shopping cart with the bad wheel that hit every crack. So I think if you're playing distraction bingo, you should have stood up by now and yelled bingo.
Yeah. And if you're listening to those distractions instead of hearing us speak, then we've done something wrong.
All right, last question. So I know we've talked about this throughout the year, but here we are. We live in Jupiter, Florida, or North Palm Beach, Florida. However, either one, no one's going to look at that and go, wow, what a mecca of entertainment that city is, or those towns are. And so how have you guys reconciled or embraced the idea that, because a lot of people who are in entertainment would go, unless you're in New York City, unless you're in L.A., unless you're yada, 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 there's no way to make it in the industry. How have you guys sort of embraced the unconventional route and sort of kind of in the Joseph Campbell hero's journey sort of way forged your own path? What does your path look like for you?
My path, well, it's funny, I was talking to my dad last night. I was over at my parents' house, and we were talking about a mutual friend who's in entertainment and is very, very successful. And my dad goes, oh, I can't. And there's a conversation with a rolling suitcase going by as we speak. And my dad said, oh, I see all you young guys, and you guys have been successful, and I always thought you had to work hard. And I said, well, Dad, we have worked hard. How do you think we got to, you know, I think you have to put in the time, you know, the 10,000 hours that I'm sure you've spoken about, Travis, to become a master, to become successful of your craft, and not just, so I think we've, all three of us, put in our time to become successful and have done the gigs you don't want to do, or the stuff for free, or the, you know, the things that you might get paid for, but it's a miserable gig, to get to the point where you've earned, you know, your decade, your two decades of work to get to this point. That, and that's how I feel, is like I feel like I've earned it in a way that now it's starting to work for me. So I guess wherever you are, to put that time in, there's definitely opportunity there. And it's saying no to the fear and saying yes to yourself and trusting in your own skill set to go, you know what, I can do this. I've been doing it, and I'm going to do it, and now I have. So, and hopefully we'll continue to.
Yeah, I'm going to completely differ from what Jesse just said, because I don't feel like I am successful yet at all. I also, the truth of the matter is, I've come to the being okay with knowing that, you know, it depends what your version is of the entertainment business too. I mean, if you're speaking of performing, no, you can't. You can't make a career out of it here. You can't. It's just not possible. But you do need to supplement with other things, you know. And I've had to do it. Thank you. I've had to do it with you know, writing, with doing, like I said before, all these other things in order to do it. So that, in that way, it's tough, you know. But I think there's also being okay with you know, I talk weekly with friends of mine that are in LA and in New York, and they are, you know, quote unquote, successful in the sense that they're where I was before I moved here, where they're able to do it full time, just as an actor, let's say. And I'm able to do it full time, but I need seven different things in the within the entertainment business, and that's what I've had to become okay with. Mm-hmm. I just had this conversation 3 days ago with my wife about, you know, my main, no matter what all these things that I end up doing, at heart, I've always been, and this article that I read has solidified it for me, because I've always been a performer, you know, since a very young age. So at my heart, that's what I want to do full time again. But it isn't possible here. It isn't. There's nobody that's doing it. So in that respect, you have to travel, you have to do these things, but it's also being okay with saying, all right, well, I'm not going to be my friend who's, you know, semi-famous on television. I'm not going to be my friend who's on Broadway. I'm not going to be that right now, but I'm going to be okay with where I'm at. And I think it goes back to acceptance of going, what's your version of success, right? If your version of success is full-time this guy, no, not going to happen. However, if your version of success is I have a family and I'm happy to be a father and I'm happy to, you know, be able to support myself and my family with certain things that I do, then yeah, I think then I feel successful. But in the terms of the entertainment, no, I don't feel that, because I've been that other side, you know, and it's different. It is. But I'm okay with that right now. And I think it's also getting in your years in life and realizing that it's not always about the prize at the end of it's the journey. And the journey right now is exciting. And I love sitting here with you guys and doing our shows. And, you know, we've kept that going, I think, admirably as long as we have for, like, as Jesse said, we put in the time for that. But, you know, there's so much more that personally, I know there's more we want to do, but there's so much more that I want to do. I want to get back to, and it's a process, and yeah. I'm okay being patient with it.
Yeah. Well, I think there's so many people that, you know, I would call it resistance. I would call it fear, making excuses, kind of a fixed or a fear mindset that it's easy to make excuses and say, unless I am in this area or Absolutely. Unless I have these opportunities, I can't be successful. So I'm not even going to try.
Right.
And I look at sort of the situation that three of us have fallen into, and I'm sure I'm butchering this in a very simplistic way, but I like to think of Kelly Slater out of Cocoa Beach, Florida, who grew up surfing the waves of Cocoa Beach, Florida, and went on to be, what, a 12, 13 mm-hmm. world champion. How sometimes it's when you find yourself in the most sort of adverse situations that you actually develop a stronger set of tools and skills, so that when the bigger opportunities come along, you have prepared yourself in a way that actually growing up in a more fertile environment has not prepared you to do. So if you're in Florida right now, you've got to be able to do this and do this mm-hmm. and write and do a little mm-hmm. bit of this yep. compared to almost kind of limiting yourself to your skill set by being in a more sort of prominent area.
Yeah, and I think also too, I mean, there's something to be said for the small pond. You know, I think it allows you to expand a little bit more. You know, you're not going to get the opportunities in New York because there's 1,000 right. other people that right. are sitting in that same room with you or that same writing room or that same whatever. Here, you don't have that, so you are able to develop your skills a little bit more because you have more time. You have more opportunity in the sense that someone's actually going to give you a shot at it. You may not get that shot in New York. Mm-hmm. You may just get blown out of the room, and that's the truth, you know. And so the fact that you have the opportunity to do it in an environment where there's not a lot of competition for it, specifically in an environment where, and this is my own personal belief, I don't think there's a lot of hardworking people in our business here. They don't get it, so it's a little easier to get ahead, and that's great. I think it allows you to have that ability to have a little more experience. And, you know, I think it's always accepting your environment. It's always accepting where you're at. I always look at everything like I chose it, you know. And if you look at it that way, there's nobody to get angry at or fearful or blame or this is where I'm supposed to be and this is what we're doing and we're making the most of it and we're being successful at it, you know.
Great. Well, let's wrap this up, guys. All right, real quick, biggest thing you've learned in 2015? Biggest thing you have learned?
Jesse?
And just so you guys know, 3 months ago, I sat down, a little mini retreat, I set 6 month goals for myself, and one of them was that the Jove would be doing 3 sold out shows a month. All right, we've got 3 months to get there. Mm-hmm. I'm liking our chances. Mm-hmm. So that's, yeah. for me, it's expecting bigger and shooting bigger in 2016. But for me, that's one of my biggest lessons. What about you two?
As far as the new year, yeah, I'll second that emotion 100%, just to continue doing what I'm doing. I think I've learned to trust myself and let go enough to be okay with where I am, and I think that's the best lesson that I've learned in 15 and hope to grow on that in 16.
For me, it's just one word, it's patience. I'm a very impatient individual. I'm a very controlling individual. I know that about myself, and so it's learning to be patient and with the journey and learning to be patient with the outcomes, because if I let my expectations rule, I'm never happy. And I know that, because my expectations are too high, always. And there's nothing wrong with dreaming, there's nothing wrong with hoping, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I also think there's something to be said for being patient in the moment. And again, it goes back to taking things as they come and not trying to manipulate or control them, and being okay with maybe not where you want to be, or where you were, or where you should, or where you feel like you deserve to be, but where you are. And that I learned from Eckhart Tolle. I mean, just to me, I always go back to the power of now, and that's what it is. It's moment to moment. If I sat at this table right now thinking about New York in a month, I wouldn't be enjoying my mm-hmm. time with you guys. I wouldn't be, you know, being creative. I would be planning something that may not even happen, because I don't know the way my next month is going to go. Something else could come up. So it's always being in the moment. So learning to be patient in the moment is... it's not something I'm learning, it's something I'm practicing, because I know this about me, and I've known it for years and years, but it's constant reminder that that's what I've learned mostly this year.
All right, guys, thanks so much. Fantastic. For listeners out there, you can follow us. What are we? At The Jove Improv. Mm-hmm. At The Jove Improv on Twitter. Yeah. At The Jove Improv on Instagram.
Yeah, and The Jove Comedy Experience on Facebook.
The Jove Comedy Experience. Please follow us. Our YouTube page is?
Jove Comedy Experience.
Jove Comedy. And we've got some funny stuff posted on the site, and we've got much, much more to come. So there you have it, our 2015 year in review, Jove style. Have a wonderful, wonderful day, everyone. And there you have it, the weekly Yap episode 16. Special thanks to Frank and Jesse for taking the time to do that. And a special thanks to every possible distraction as we sat outside of Brooklyn Water Bagel, the shopping cart, the helicopter, the dump truck, and every passing conversation that made their way into the podcast. Thank you. Thank you for all the distractions and clear proof that we yes-anded all of them. Also, thank you to Vanilla Ice for the lead-in to the weekly Yap and the segues today. And again, thank you to everyone who came out and supported our show on Saturday night. We sold out over 180 people there. We had to turn people away. What a great, great way to start 2016. And you can follow The Jove Improvisation, Twitter and Instagram. We are at The Jove Improv. Our Facebook page is The Jove Comedy Experience. And right now, to purchase tickets and see our schedule, we always post them on our Facebook page, but franklicari.com. If you click on the Jove link, you can always see our upcoming schedule and purchase tickets that way. So once again, thanks to Frank and Jesse. Hope you guys enjoyed that little insight into living Yes and have a wonderful, wonderful week, everyone.